Welcome to a special audiobook edition of the Carts Looney Podcast. It's Monday, August 30th, and today we celebrate the publication of Watermark, the winner of our 2010 Poetry Chapbook Contest, in a print edition from Phoenicia Publishing in Montreal, and on the web at watermarkpoems.com. Now, each of the poems on the website is accompanied by an audio player with a recording of just that poem, for those who prefer to take the book more slowly. This podcast includes all the poems in the book, together with a guitar theme, specially composed and recorded for this project by the author, Clayton T. Michaels, who is also the reader throughout. Stay tuned to hear the complete one-minute theme at the end of the podcast. Clayton Michaels is a teacher, poet, and musician who currently resides in Granger, Indiana. He has been a featured poet at the online journal Anti, and his poems have appeared in The Prism Review, Nerve Cowboy, Kill Author, Makeout Creek, Slipstream, and the Chiron Review, among others. He currently teaches composition, creative writing, and comic book-related courses at Indiana University South Bend, plays guitar in an American roots and bluegrass band, and can be found online at claytonmichaelspoetry.wordpress.com. Watermark was one of 11 finalists selected from the 66 submitted manuscripts in a blind competition. The final judge was the noted nonfiction author and naturalist Ken Lamberton. He chose Watermark, he said, because of its, quote, powerful, vivid images and surprising twists in the language, a sophisticated and intelligent, but not intellectual, use of the language that moved me emotionally. You can see what some of the other early readers in the manuscript had to say at watermarkpoems.com. But for now, let's listen to Clayton Michaels reading the poems in his debut collection, Watermark.
Precious. Bring me sackcloth and oleander. Break out the shotguns, we're going to town. Changes in the weather tracked on smoke-streaked yellowed windows via crosshatches, thumbnail scratched into their frames. Silences breed vacuums small enough to hide in the hem of a skirt. I collect the spent matches as proof. So very precious to no one else but me. Like the granules of salt I tossed over my left shoulder, and several dozen miles worth of broken guitar strings. There are ashes in the lake. There are termites in the marrow. I have aluminum stuck in my teeth. Bring me a glass of water and I'll tell you everything. Icarus. A man with sunstroke is flying a twin-engine Cessna over Lake Michigan. The staler the air in the cockpit grows, the more convinced he is that he sees St. Peter walking across the face of the water, trolling for perch. The last coherent thought he has before being claimed by the water is of Audrey Hepburn as Holly Golightly, singing Moon River on a fire escape. The last thing he hears the black box say is cerulean. The Art of Sweeping Things Under the Rug. I've been swallowing fistfuls of sand for fear of floating. Winter is almost over, and hell is almost empty. Look at all the devils, embers in their eyes. There is a weight to guilt, but there is no circumference to desire. Thank you. Fiddler's Hearth, summer 2009. All across the city, the lonely people share a dream about foxes. We're all drinking Founders Double Trouble IPA. The foxes are dancing through a forest, carrying rice paper umbrellas. There's a bluegrass band on stage. The fiddle and mandolin players trade lead breaks on the Black Mountain Rag. I'm convinced that I crave salt because I'm dying. The umbrellas dissolve when they're kissed by the peach blossom petals falling around them like summer rain. The band launches into the Grateful Dead's Sugar Magnolia, then a long jam on Going Down the Road Feeling Bad. At one of the sidewalk tables, July sits tapping her feet and smiling, skinned knees and larkspur braided into her hair. Melancholia is a collective noun. There could be hothouses filled with orchids, or a copse of hard rime-coated trees, or drops of gray wax in a bowl of water. Or there could be nothing after this. This is the first stage of recovery. Iris is the color of wet ashes, mouth filled with pomegranate seeds instead of teeth. At one time, we were flowers. At one time, everyone was flowers. Inflorescence on a dogwood tree. I am an archipelago of splinters, just below the surface, waiting patiently. Wrens haunt the cherry trees, clamorously chirping like St. Stephen was hiding underneath, dropping stones and pits on unwary passersby. And St. Denis, of the lachrymose silences, carries his head with him for all eternity. Artists never quite agreeing where his halo should go. Untitled number 19. We never truly fill the holes. We just learn to live around them, while the empty resonates like jade. Clear and cold. Strike it right, it almost rings forever. Hexagram. The promised land, apparently, is thick with pines. Around here, the river smells like brimstone. The 24-hour bait shop on the avenue makes its money selling methamphetamines. An old dial-tuned radio, set to an AOR station, sits on a shelf above the crayfish tank. Through the static, Rick Danko sings about believing in hexagrams. What shape is the closest synonym for lonely? Maybe it's the ampersand. One of Clay's dots that went for a walk and got lost, preferring vertiginous loops to straight lines. Like Thelonious Monk wearing a white fur hat and improvising on epistrophe. His piano sounds anxious, an eighth of a beat out of time. Percussive like the moon when she sashays down the hallway in a pair of knee-high black come-fuck-me boots. I want the moon to be Grace Kelly, the way Hitchcock shot her first scene in Rear Window. Soft focus lens, tight close-up on her face, so that I can pretend I'm Jimmy Stewart, gently roused from sleep, opening my eyes to discover the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, leaning in to kiss me awake. Thank you. Lazarus species. Last night I dreamt that all my teeth fell out of my head, grew back, and then fell out again, while blue copper wires snaked their way into my veins. Everyone I know smells like warm milk and lavender. Everyone I know breeds cancer bats. These mood swings make me feel ashamed. Like porcelain dropped from a great height, or cinnamon across a window pane. Dreaming in dog years. In dog years, I would have died sometime circa 1979. I'm just following doctor's orders. Brisk daily walks, fish oil pills for my heart. No sweets and no liquor. The aging yuppies in their cookie-cutter condos still let their Jack Russells chase after me. I'm a virtual ascetic at only 35. Well, I'm not above firebombing their impatience like they were Dresden, and this was 1945. I didn't call 911. I suppose I could have died. I accidentally set fire to a trash can in my parents' garage once. I had emptied an ashtray before the last cigarette was completely out. I used a 25-pound bag of kitty litter to smother the larger flames and ran glasses of water from the kitchen until the fire was out. Oily residue clung to my hair, streaked my face and hands. That night, I had vivid, adrenaline-jittery dreams about box elders that spat mercury-filled helicopter seeds. The blistered smell of the burnt rubber lingered in the house for the rest of the long 4th of July weekend. The clocks are all turned back. In a downtown hospital, my grandfather spent 3 nights hovering near death. Pneumonic, partial renal failure, a blood infection. This morning, the nurses said he was showing signs of recovery. He's going to find a way to outlive us all. I'm thankful for his stubbornness. I hope there's some of it in me. I hung up and went for a walk. There was still frost on the shaded parts of the condo's lawns. Ankle-deep piles of wet, drifted leaves in the corners of the subdivision's dead-end streets. Quiet, except for the scuff of my shoes on the asphalt. And the music bleeding out of my headphones into the chilly November air. Without edges. These are the days that call for a bottle of Sonoma Zinfandel, that beg for the black pepper, for the anise, flavors that at least warm the mouth. I savor each sip for as long as I can, until the astringency makes my tongue feel like cotton. Snow again today, then rain, then snow. These are the days I need a woman without edges, without unexpected corners that could tear or scrape. She might taste like black pepper and anise, maybe sandalwood incense, or black currant with a hint of cinnamon. All flavors to delight in and hold. We could ride out the gathering storms in bed, getting drunk, reading poetry. From a distance, the black type on the white paper looks like animal tracks on the freshly fallen snow. Anodyne. Summer came late this year. April's ebony sheets of rain spilled over into May. No hemlocks coming back in a big way. Hemlock and purple nightshade, tainting the groundwater, swelling our tongues and changing our accents. Now when I say trust, it sounds like gun. When I say love, it sounds like mycosis. Thank you. Choke cherry. I just like the word, really. Choke cherry. For a couple of reasons. Partly because it's fun to say. The combination of sounds is almost like a curse word, only harsher. Instead of soft fricative, like in fuck, which is also a fun word to say, you get the abrasive affricate, the ch before the hard stop, the k, then another affricate. Keeps the mouth busy. To pronounce it properly, you have to take your time. Savor the phonemes. Choke cherry. Choke. Cherry. And I like it partly because of the image it brings to mind. A malevolent little berry, brow furrowed and always scheming, spreading ill will wherever it happens to flower and mature. Brings to mind other good words like astringent. Brings to mind witch hazel and red wine. Choke cherry. Doesn't seem right that it's only toxic to horses, and that's only after it started to wilt, releasing cyanide, making the leaves taste sweeter. Making, as Dr. Urbino might add, everything smell like toasted almonds and unrequited love. Choke cherry. Bitter, but essentially harmless. Not like cheat or fake. Nothing like fight. Harmless, unlike kiss. Watermark. Right now I feel so goddamn rock and roll. Like a grinning Keith Richards death's head. You can see my watermark if you hold me to the light. The brain needs oxygen. The humors need war. And rumors of war. And myths about resurrections. Songs about car crashes half remembered from a fevered dream. I woke up cleaning gravel from the strawberry on my knee. Sing louder now. Hurricane season. In my dreams you are alive and you are crying, half sick with the thrill that comes from fracturing your fingers, holding on to fracturing things. Putting a masking tape X across a window pane won't really keep the glass from shattering. Your disappointments, laid end to end, would stretch from here to the Atlantic, the kinder of our oceans. Which only wants the bodies and not the land. Along every boardwalk, nervous hotel managers and restaurateurs pull their aluminum shutters closed. It's hurricane season. The sky is a harpsichord canvas. I am in retrograde. Tantric. I'm only trying to protect myself. Someone keeps jabbing needles into my eye. Spiderweb cracks accentuate the red filaments, and she keeps making these sounds like the whir of cicadas. The whole thing's kind of tantric. Makes me want to bury the bones of a sparrow near the bend in the river. Tattoo F-shaped sound holes over my ribcage. Place a line of salt on every windowsill, across every doorway. Then melt down the silver in her tongue and use it to make rain. Dry lung. This is what the world will look like when all the water leaves. Cracked blue tempera in a yellow styrofoam egg carton. Our mouths will fill with gravel, and we will learn to speak in stones. Curiated. It would be different, of course, if my path were lined with votive statues, supplicatory offerings buried at their feet, leather purses filled with coins, jewel-encrusted amulets, spearheads, scraps of papyrus asking the gods for some small kindness. If I were all marble and black limestone, a sanctuary for the artifacts that people hold most holy. Wooden effigies not carved by human hands, saltwater wells, olive trees, burial places of mythical kings. If you were worthy of enshrinement in a noble gas-filled glass chamber alongside the rest of the Caryatids. Elamocenary. Speaking of sons, the Psalms say that blessed is the man whose quiver is full of arrows, proving that the potential for violence can be a metaphor for anything. Bury your sons to their necks in fertile loam. Harvest the flowers from their throats. Stargazer lilies for ambition. Magnolia for dignity. Lavender for distrust. When I was in the loam, an unkindness of ravens plucked white tulip bulbs from my throat. Forgiveness doesn't grow here. A friend once told me that the trouble with men is their mouths. I'd like to think she meant that at least partly in a good way. That a few sleepy red wine-stained kisses can atone for almost anything. And that our tongues are essentially benevolent. I think Richard Brautigan got it right at the end of his story, The Betrayed Kingdom, when he wrote, "People need a little loving, and God, sometimes it's sad, all the shit they have to go through to find some. A little kindness, it's all anybody really wants. Kindness, distractible as crows, lonely as a frontage road in a nondescript Midwestern town. One where the marquee outside the drive-in theater still reads closed for the season. Just like it has since October of 86 and the last Friday midnight showing of Rust Never Sleeps." And while Neil Young flickered on the screen, a young couple in a wood-paneled station wagon in the back row inched a little closer, trying to stave off the creeping autumn chill. Like a Neil Young song. Everything sounds sadder in a reed-thin falsetto. Like a Neil Young song, circa after the Gold Rush, 1970 or 72. The words almost cease to matter when a voice is spread that thin. When with one stray syllable, the entire fragile dynamic can just dissolve. Then again, sometimes when it breaks, it can be far more compelling. See mellow my mind from tonight's the night. In a reed-thin falsetto, should you ever choose to, this is how I would like you to remember me.